And recording. Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the 8-Bit Soul Podcast. I'm your host Armando Testani, and joining me this fine evening is Dee Marchioni. Say hello, Dee.
Hello.
How are you? Yes, we've been gone. I'm all right, but yes, in case you're wondering, we have been gone for a little bit. About a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. You know, life, illness, newborns, they get in the way sometimes. But we're back. Episode 55. Lots to talk about tonight. Lots to talk about. So let's not fuck around anything, and let's just dive into it. Shall we, Dee?
Let's.
All right. What have you been playing lately?
I started playing some games, some that are old and we've talked about before, like FTL. Mm-hmm. Just because I love that game and just a time waster. But if you've never played FTL, how would you describe it? A overhead 2D ship management game, like resource management.
Yeah, it's a ship management game. Isn't it also kind of roguelike?
Yes. Where you die, you start over. I think the reason I like it so much is that I get to name my characters. I had a really good run the other night. And Brandy was flying the plane, or the ship. Angelo, my cousin Angelo, was manning the shields. You were managing the engineering department until I got a stowaway to come on, which I renamed Rich, who appeared on two of our episodes. He took over engineering and you handled security and oxygen.
Better not fuck with me. I'll deplete your oxygen.
And I picked up another person, and we went nearly to the end of the game, like maybe two more nodes, and it would have reached like the fleet I was trying to get to, and everybody died in a fire.
Thanks. Thanks.
So, a gallant effort, but you died tragically.
Great.
Everyone died tragically.
Oh, well. C'est la vie, mon ami.
I also picked up Titan Souls, which was a pretty well-known indie game. It was touted at a lot of, like, PAX East. It was a huge game at. And it was a... People say that it's like playing Shadows of the Colossus, where it's just a bunch of end boss battles. And in this game, it's kind of that... kind of like Zelda, where it's that almost... like weird three-quarter view. Like the map is flat, but you're walking around on it, but you can kind of see edges of your body. Like, and you have one weapon, you have a arrow that you can shoot and then have it like force pull back to you. And you have a run and a roll, and that's about it. And it was on sale on Steam, so I picked it up for $3, and it's hard as shit. But
what are you, like, playing these on Steam, on your PC or Mac?
FTL I was playing on my Mac, and I played Titan Souls on a PC with a wired Xbox 360 controller.
Oh, okay, that's cool. And
then I played a bunch of settings for the Plex app on Xbox One and PS4.
Didn't work so well, huh?
I gave up on both. They perform exactly the same. Streaming had a problem at the same moment multiple times, and I don't know why. So I ended up hooking up the PC laptop that I bought via HDMI to my TV and watching shows that way.
Mm-hmm. And it worked better that way?
Yeah, I mean, that's working flawlessly.
Nice. That's good. It's weird that the apps are not working. My sister uses it on her Apple TV, and she says she doesn't have any issues.
Hmm. Yeah, this was both Xbox One and PS4, and I even checked like the NAT types, and it said everything should be working fine.
Huh. Interesting. Anything else you played?
And then I also played some Destiny's Trials of Osiris with you.
Yes, we'll get into that. I bought, the definitive edition or whatever they're calling it of, Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh, you did get that?
Yeah, I bought it. It was only an extra $5.
Mm-hmm. Did you play?
No, I haven't played it yet. Nope. But for $5, it adds an entirely new level and some other stuff. I was like, yeah, I love the game, so why not? And I figured $5 is nothing. So I bought that, but I have yet to play it. Today, Halo Wars was announced that it's finally backwards compatible on the Xbox One today. They announced that. So I found the disc, popped it in, going to download that tonight. So I'll have that installed on my Xbox One.
Is that a type of RTS that we could play against each other?
Oh, God, yes. You and I never played against each other?
Nope.
I just
made it through the tutorial. The only time I
played the whole game. I finished it. And then I did multiplayer a bunch of times. You know who I think I played with a bunch of times? Our good buddy Oprah. Yeah, I played against him.
Did you play all the way through to completion?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it's got multiplayer for, backwards compatible too, so we'll definitely have to go at it against each other. I really like that game. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that it's finally backwards compatible. But other than that, last week my kids were off from school. I was off of work most of the week. We had a lot going on, so I didn't play much. Mm-hmm. My gaming, I'll do a few bounties and try to level up some of the gunsmith in Destiny. But other than that, I didn't do much gaming because I was trying to catch up on TV shows, watching some movies and stuff. My gaming was primarily limited to weekends, where I have also been playing Trials of Osiris. Now, we've been playing with some friends of ours, and we also actually met people online in the Destiny, one of the PS4 Destiny groups on Facebook, where we became buddies with one of the guys, and we've actually played a few times with them. And I think, we've had... we've had some good luck with it in the sense that it's been a good learning experience for us and we've had fun. Trials of Osiris is a different beast than other game modes in Destiny. We've been doing it primarily to complete bounties so we can earn more gear and weapons. And I've enjoyed it. And it's more enjoyable when you have a team that works well together. And I think for the most part, we've had that. And we've done well. Friday night, I actually played with our buddy DW. And we actually found somebody new. This guy played Will. And he was actually pretty good. We made it to 5 wins as well. Nice. So that's the most I've made it to before losing. So once you lose, you're done with Flawless. You can't go to the Lighthouse. So at that point, it's just, try to finish bounties. But that's the most I've gone on a win streak is just 5 wins before losing. It's a totally different beast. It's you get the more hardcore players in Trials of Osiris who really play well. They do this all weekend. There's people who will just fucking roll over us like it's not even, like we're noobs to video games. And we can hold our own. But there's some people, it's 3v3. It's on different maps. You got to learn how to play
the map. It's on the same map for the whole weekend.
They switch maps every weekend.
Which is really interesting because you get to learn the maps that way.
Yeah, and which is good because when you can play in other game types like Iron Banner and stuff, you really learn the different lanes, the sniping lanes, how best to control certain points and all that, how not to get overrun, where to overrun. But, it's a totally different beast. It can be brutal if you don't have a cohesive team. And it's really important to work as a team. And it's important to communicate as well. If you're down a man, if you've downed one of theirs, if you're on their orb, let people know where they are. If you see them, if they're reviving a teammate. You know, communication is really key in Trials of Osiris. Also, the type of character you use. You know, different characters have different perks, different supers, and, you know, different supers, even depending on the map. You know, you're dealing with a warlock with self-res. You think that game's over and they have their super? Guess what? I mean, you and I have been in a game where all three of us were alive and we're like, oh, all right, good job, guys. We won that. All of a sudden, he fucking revives himself and, like, kills two of us immediately. And next thing you know, we fucking lose the game. You know, that's happened to us before. And it's also happened where, because you primarily play as a warlock, mm-hmm. you self-rezzed, and all of a sudden, now you know, now we won the game, you know?
Yeah, so I love those sticky grenades, because you come back and they're surprised, and then there's just got a sticky grenade, and you get the little badge, get it off me, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I enjoy Trials of Osiris. You know, I've never been to the Lighthouse, never gone flawless, but I have fun playing it, and I like it. You know, I in Destiny, I like collecting the different armor and the different weapons. So it's, you know, completing the bounties, you get that stuff. I've gotten some cool weapons on my hunter. I have a ton of armor that I've collected. I don't have all of the armor. Mm-hmm. I have all of the Sunbreaker armor, but not all of the other armor. You know, I got the Sunlit Shell, which is a shell for your ghost that you can only get in Trials of Osiris.
I got that as well.
Yeah, which kind of pissed me off that that was my gold tier. And you're the motherfucker who got two Doctrines of Passage, which annoys the shit out of me because I'm dying for that gun.
But, that's a great gun.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But, you know, I enjoy playing it. I've played with my Hunter and I've played with my Titan. You know, I completed my Hunter on Friday, all the bounties on that. That's where I got the Sunlit Shell. And then last night we tried doing it on the Titan. And last night was a little rough. Didn't play as well for some reason. I just head wasn't into it. And, you know, we ended the night. We actually ended the night where it was just the two of us in our final game. And we got rolled in that last game. We got rolled.
I got three kills out of five rounds.
Yeah.
They were all grenades.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoy playing Trials of Osiris. But, you know, speaking of Destiny, why don't we just stay on the topic of Destiny? Iron Banner starts this week. So we'll be playing. I know I'm going to be playing Iron Banner the whole week. No doubt about it. I'm going to get all five of my characters ranked up to rank 5. I just like it because I get, you know, better armor, better gear. Actually, on the PS4, I have all the gear for every character anyway, so it doesn't matter. So it's not like I can get it. I can only get better armor. I mean, fuck.
Well, if you get bored, I mean, you can use my characters.
I got 320 Greaves from my Titan a while back, and that's a great way to level up to 320. But, you know, obviously 320 is not going to last much longer. But still, it's a good way to get you closer to that. So when you do earn the other armor, you know, if you want to infuse some of it, you can use that to help infuse. But
yeah, I mean, the majority of our friends are as far away from 320 as they would be from the 335 if they get to 320. Some are worse. Mm-hmm. A lot of our clan is still in the 290s.
Yeah, yeah. My hunter's at 314, and then my warlock and my titan are both at 309.
So, and that's because you've really embraced the end game, like Iron Banner specifically.
Yeah.
And
Iron Banner is what leveled me up the way it did. You know, on my Xbox One, I only have two characters. I have a warlock and a hunter. And I went into Iron Banner last time I was on control with my warlock at only a 228 light level. And I knew some people, and they were just like, dude, you're going to get rolled at 228. My very first game, I actually tweeted a picture of the end result of the very first game. My very first game of Control and Iron Banner, I came in first place with 21 kills and the most captures. We won the game, and I had the most points. So my light level was only 228, but I was still fucking owning people. You know?
So, well, I mean, one of the top sniper rifles that people are using in Trials of Osiris is a year one at 160.
Yep.
But it generates its own ammo, and it can one-shot kill people.
Yeah. And you have this special ammo as soon as you start playing, where you start usually with zero special ammo, and then after a little while, you get the ammo. But with the icebreaker, you got that ammo right away. So there's guys who are just sniping as soon as you start running. But yeah.
Which I just found out today. I have the icebreaker. It was on my level 25 character. I was like, huh, son of a bitch.
That's pretty funny. But yeah, Destiny. You know, a lot of people have been bitching about Bungie not releasing any new content, which, I mean, I don't see it that way because I've never finished, you know, what was that?
Because you have a life.
I guess.
It's so hard. I mean,
to complete everything?
You're what? You're 300 hours. I'm just over 200 hours, and I've never played any of the raids.
Neither have I. I mean, we started once, and that was
it. We've never been to the lighthouse. There's so many elements.
So many things we could do. And you look at, there's people who are like at 2,000 hours or over. Mm-hmm. I'm like, holy shit, talk about no life. I wish I had the time to do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. I have kids. I have a job. I have a wife. I have a house. I have a mortgage. It's just got to get paid. Life's got to go on. I coach lacrosse. You know, this summer I'm playing lacrosse. That takes time. It's not, you know, I'm in the old men's league. Well, not the old men's league, but the men's league. You know, I can't devote my life to playing a video game.
Well, maybe everybody. I think everybody in our clan has kids now.
No.
No?
Nope.
Who doesn't?
Oprah doesn't.
No. Then he might be the only one.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't have kids that I know of. Unless he's hiding them from me. Are you hiding them from me, Oprah? No, I don't think so.
I know everybody playing on PS3 does.
I know he doesn't, but yeah.
And nobody's got that kind of time. Like, we're talking about playing once, maybe twice a week.
What's his name doesn't have kids, does he?
Who?
In Maine.
Oh, Josh? No, yeah. He's decided to just go with dogs, but he's not playing anymore.
Well, that's true. He's playing other games.
He's Metal Gear Solid specifically.
What the hell's up with that?
It's a good game.
I guess, but how long can you play it for?
Oh, forever. I mean, the multiplayer download.
Oh, that's right. There's multiplayer. I forgot about that. Forgot about it. Anyways, let's go back to Bungie. So people have been complaining that Bungie hasn't released anything. So they finally announced their big spring update, the April update, which is coming April 12th. And they're having three streaming events to cover it. And they already did the first one this past Wednesday. And they have one coming up this upcoming Wednesday, March 30th, and then they'll have one the following Wednesday, April 6th. It's on, 2 p.m. Eastern time that they're doing it. It's about an hour and a half long or so, maybe a little bit over. And they've already unveiled a bunch of stuff. Some of the highlights are they're increasing the light level to 335. It's currently at 320. So now I'm going to be nowhere near the cap. So we'll get plenty of opportunity to get gear to get us up to 335 because they also announced that there's a new Prison of Elders challenge that's called the Challenge of the Elders. And this you have to actually be 320 to get in to play it. So that's going to be interesting, getting to 320. But they said there'll be opportunities to get to 320. Because they're updating Prison of Elders as well. So you'll be able to get stuff, gear for that to get to 320. And then once you have that, you can do the Challenge of the Elders. And what they've done with that is that they have this, like, challenge card, kind of like in Trials of Osiris, you buy a passage card. Mm-hmm. And the Challenge of the Elders is timed events. And you have to earn certain points. And if you earn 30,000 points, you're guaranteed a piece of armor, I believe. That's up to 335. And if you get up to 90,000 points, you're no, I'm sorry, not 335. I believe it's 330. You're guaranteed up to 330 light level. And when you get up to 90,000 points on your card, you're guaranteed a piece of 335 armor or gear. So that's how people will be able to get to 335. They're going to introduce all the new gear and all that. They're going to talk about it in this Wednesday's Twitch stream. So that'll be interesting to see what they unveil with that. They also announced that Eververse Trading Company is going to have an outpost on the reef. There's going to be a new Petravenge PS exclusive quest. And they also updated the Winter's Run Strike to include taken enemies. And they've updated the rewards for that as well. So there's going to be lots to do. Lots to do. What else they talk about? They said there's going to be new armor. There's going to be new weapons. They even showed a sneak peek of a Taken Guardian, which I'm assuming is either a shader or armor, which they looked pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, they look awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's a shader, though, because it looked like
Prison of Elders armor.
Yeah.
Could be updated Prison of Elders armor.
True. Year two.
Could be something.
What was it? Blighted Chalice?
Or Blighted something? Chalice, which is a new strike, I believe,
mm-hmm.
as well. So there's a lot of stuff that they're really going to delve into. And it's a free update if you have the Taken King. And they specifically say that because you need the Taken King to get up to 320 light level. And level 40. So you have to have that in order to do that. So if you don't play the Taken, you don't have the Taken King, you won't be able to get this update. But as long as you have Taken King, free update. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Same.
It'll be a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, Prison of the Elders was probably some of the more fun strategies, like playing with friends.
Yeah.
Like Bubble Titans were actually important, especially in the beginning when you didn't know what you were doing.
Right.
It's the whole reason I built a Bubble Titan.
Defender.
Yep.
Yeah, I finally got my Titan to be a defender in my PlayStation. Because I've always been, I maxed out his Striker and his Sun, whatever the hell they call it, for the Hammer Soul.
Sunseeker.
Sunseeker.
Yep.
The Soul Hammer, whatever the fuck they call it. So I never really worked on his Defender class, so I'm working on that now.
Defender's my favorite, but I typically prefer support roles.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I like my Warlock, because I'm able to, like, float around and revive people quicker.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Bungie. That's Destiny. So let's move along, shall we?
Sure. I have a question for you about your Xbox. Yep. Xbox One. What does your background look like?
I have a screenshot from Ori and the Blind Forest.
Okay.
Why? I took a screenshot and I made it into the background.
Yeah,
because you can do that.
I did that in the beginning, and I used like a Titanfall one.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't particularly good looking, and I couldn't remember what stock was. I think it was just like a black screen or something, because I didn't like the way that looked.
Yeah, it is. You can go into settings and change it. You can do like a background color and all that stuff too.
Okay, I've been trying to think of how to make this thing not look shitty.
You can even upload like you can make your own custom background, and you can upload it to your Xbox One and use that as a background too.
I might do that actually. Like, maybe I'll just make an 8-bit soul one.
You could do that, yeah, absolutely. And update it, you could do that.
So I have not actually been in the system in a long time. Typically it's Xbox on, and then we go straight to TV, and that's it. But when I was playing with the Plex app, I was like, I forgot how ugly this thing looks. I should fix this.
Yeah, mine's nice. I took a nice screenshot from Ori and the Blind Forest. I really like it.
Cool. I might do the same.
Yeah. So speaking of Microsoft, they announced that they are going to open up the Xbox to cross-platform play on the Xbox One and Windows 10. And they even said you can do it with more stuff as well. They actually, I believe, you know, it was mentioned that it could do it with a PS4 if Sony was to open up it, the PS4. But so far they've been pretty mum about it. But one company hasn't, because cross-platform play is coming to the Xbox One version of Rocket League. Psyonix announced that it's going to come soon. And they also said that they figured out how to do cross-play between the Xbox One version and the PS4 version. And they said all they have to do is be allowed to do it. They've already figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
But they could do it on the Xbox side, but Sony would have to open it up for them to do it.
Gotcha.
I think that would actually be kind of cool, though.
I mean, it would give longer legs to certain games. Make sure that you're constantly getting competition.
Mm-hmm. It would be cool if Destiny did it. Oh, man, that would be so cool.
All right, so here's where I don't know shit about PCs.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, like, a Windows 10 store?
I don't know.
Like, I have Windows 10, and I've never seen, like, I buy a game here. I just use Steam. But I've been using Steam for years.
Well, you can use Xbox on Windows. There's an Xbox app for Windows 10.
Hmm.
And there's certain games you can play on Windows 10 and the Xbox One. So I would download that on your PC.
I'll look into it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm a Mac guy. So that's all I use. But yeah. Sony, not to leave them out, they announced that the PlayStation VR launches this October for $400. Or, sorry, $399.
$399 and $499.
Yeah. And it's going to need the $60 camera, the PlayStation Eye, which is not included with the $399. Yep. Or you can buy the bundle for $500, which includes the said camera and two PlayStation Move motion controllers, as well as, like, a game, like some cheap game for it.
Yeah, but you can only pre-order the $499 one.
Right.
Which is weird. I guess, yeah. Actually, I guess it makes sense, because the $399 one is the only one you could order, like, by accident.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have everything with the $499. I just think this is, even though that these are both still the least expensive ways to get into VR, I still think it's too expensive.
Oh, yeah. I'm just not interested.
Yeah.
Not at this point.
I'm not interested in finding out after spending $500 if I'm going to get sick from a specific game. Because we've seen people at PAX East get sick just playing games that had lower frame rates.
Yeah, I'm not interested right now. But sticking with Sony, it's all been confirmed that they're going to be launching a more powerful PS4. Some are dubbing it a PS4.5.
Or PS4K.
Or PS4K, yeah, because the word is that's going to be able to handle 4K content, because currently the PS4 can't.
Mm-hmm.
So that includes, like, 4K Blu-ray, 4K games, and streaming and all that stuff. So, yay! If you want it, pay more.
I'm not buying a 4K TV.
I'm not. Neither am I.
So, well, technically, they're not. The ones that are on the market right now aren't even true 4K. They're still below 4K, which is weird. They're basically doing it the way HD was initially released.
Yeah, we saw Zootopia last week, which we'll talk about later, and that was in 4K.
Nice.
Yeah, it looked nice. Nice. But anything else you want to chit-chat about games-wise?
No.
No? So let's move on?
Let's.
Let's move on to the world of comic books. You read anything?
I did.
All right. What'd you read?
One thing I read was Hyperion number one? Yep.
Marvel?
Yes.
By Chuck Wendig and Nick Varela.
And
I'm not going to lie, I have no clue who the creative team on this book are. Not familiar with them in the slightest. So I was actually a bit hesitant picking this one up. But go ahead. What did you think of it?
I didn't particularly like it. So essentially, this is a story about a Superman-style character that he came from another... He came from, like, a group, like a JLA kind of group that broke up in some way. I don't know what happened. They vaguely cover it on the inside front cover. But at this point, he isn't sure if the way he was being a hero before was good or bad, so he's a truck driver.
And he kind of went crazy in the old stories.
Did he? I don't know who he is.
He was, like, schizophrenic. He was part of the Avengers for a little while.
Oh, okay.
Or a new Avenger. One of the Avengers teams.
One from the way they were describing it, all I was running through my head was the old Image Stormwatch.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't think he's from that.
No. That's DC.
I know. That's why I was like, I don't think...
Yeah.
Well, it was Image at the time that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But, the... So, I guess when you're introducing a Superman-style character for me... There has to be something catchy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, probably the best that I've seen was Astro City number one with Samaritan. That was just an interesting way to tell that story where I was instantly hooked. Where this is more like reluctant hero with Superman-style powers. And I'm just like, oh, just take care of the bad guys already.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, like, endangering the person that's with you. So there was nothing that grabbed me other than I thought it was funny that the bad guys that were showing up were look like Mad Max.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little bit different than you. You know, I'm familiar with who Hyperion is, a bit of his backstory, all that jazz. But I never really read a lot of his stuff. Hell, I don't even know if there's a lot of it to read. The stuff I read of him, it was in like team books, not team books.
Yeah.
But I decided to give this one a go anyways. And to be honest, I was not disappointed. I wasn't blown away by it, but it left me intrigued enough to want to see more. You know, the story, as you mentioned, he's a truck driver. It's about this girl who's on the run. She's escaped from this like carnival, traveling carnival, where apparently everybody has special powers and she wants out, but they don't want her to leave. So she goes looking for Hyperion and she's found out who he is, this truck driver. And, you know, he's masquerading as the truck driver. And it's not until the very end that we get to see him as Hyperion when this caravan of carnival goers, carnies, you know, get upon them and try to take the girl back. I didn't think it was half bad. I didn't think it, like I said, I wasn't blown away by it, but it intrigued me enough to want to read the second issue to see where it goes. I think this is one you need like two or three issues to really make a decision with whether it's something to stick with or not. I think there wasn't enough in the first issue to say, yep, definitely. I think there was enough to say, okay, let's see what happens in issue two and we'll go from there.
So one question that came across to me is, and maybe you know this from reading anything else with this character in it, is he... So I'm assuming he is like full on like a Superman character where he came from another planet or something because he doesn't speak English as if it's his first language.
Why do you say that?
Everything he says sounds out of place and kind of weird.
Why?
Like you're about to be attacked. Like you've just been attacked by someone. I need you to move over. Is like the way he says everything is just almost Forrest Gumpish. And I was wondering.
My God. I mean, I didn't really come across that. Didn't really seem odd to me, but okay.
I was wondering if that, like, stuck out. Because to me, that stuck out a lot. And
this is, like, the third incarnation of Hyperion or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say probably the third. The other two came from alternate dimensions, I want to say. Not 100% sure, but I believe they came from alternate dimensions. Like, one was a member of Squadron Sinister. Ever heard of them?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was the original one, if I'm not mistaken, was from Squadron Sinister. The most recent one... oh, God. See, in Secret Wars, Hyperion was killed. Like, okay. The new Secret Wars.
Yeah.
That was last year.
Mm-hmm.
He is an alien. He's from an alien planet.
Okay.
Basically, it is, like you said, it's Superman. He was sent to Earth as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
From his dying planet. that's the most recent version of him. Not the original Hyperion. The most recent one is pretty much like a Superman story.
Yeah.
But the government raised him.
Okay.
And
oh, he's taking him. Time away from Squadron Supreme.
Oh, is that
the
it?
Beginning of this one.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a comic I've never read anything about.
Yeah. He was part of the Avengers for a little while. Before Secret Wars started. But he was killed in Secret Wars. And back then, like last year, you know, that version of Hyperion, he was like borderline schizophrenic. He had issues, like major issues. Who did he kill? He killed... Oh, I want to say he killed Ares, but I don't think he killed Ares. You know who I'm talking about, Ares?
Yeah.
In Civil War? Was it in Civil War? When did Ares die?
I thought it was Sentry that went nuts and killed.
You're right. It was Sentry who did it, not Hyperion. Sentry was the one who was schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Who had the mental issues. It was Sentry. You're right, not Hyperion.
The character everyone loves to hate.
I was confusing the two. Yeah, you're right. But Hyperion, his backstory is, like the recent one, his is the baby who was sent to Earth from a dying planet raised by the U.S. government.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Which is, that happens in Flashpoint, or the Flash, what is that called? When Flash goes back and tries
Flashpoint?
Flashpoint, was
yep.
that?
Yeah.
Which was a great animated smart. Show. If you haven't seen it on Netflix, you should definitely watch that.
The animated movie, yeah.
Yep.
DC does a good job with their animated movies. But you know, if for me, going back to Hyperion, it did enough to make me want to go back and see the second issue. Will I go on past it? I don't know. We'll have to see what the second issue does.
I will probably wait to see what your reaction is. I thought the artwork was good. It didn't strike me as a issue number one.
Mm.
It struck me as like...
Yeah, you had to know who he is.
Yeah.
If you've never heard of him, if you've never seen him, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like there was a great issue of Superman where he basically just lands and decides to go for a walk and goes to a diner, eats, doesn't
yeah,
have any
I remember
money,
that one.
Cleans
I
everything
actually
up.
Didn't
the
like
only it. Reason it was good to me was because I knew who Superman was.
Mm-hmm.
So to just see that juxtaposition was cool. But for this, it annoys me to see someone who could save somebody and is just like throwing them in harm's way.
Right.
Especially when like the guy attacking them is a contortionist.
Yeah, one of the guys. Yeah. Moving on, though. I read International Iron Man, number one.
So
another Marvel title by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. Man, these guys have worked together on so much stuff. They did Daredevil. They did an Iron Man run as well. I thought that this was actually an interesting take on Iron Man. It mainly focused on when Tony Stark was a college student and how he came about introducing himself to Cassandra Gillespie, which actually had a nice little payoff at the end of the issue, the final few pages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it explores the Tony Stark that realizes that he's not really a Stark. He's not Howard Stark's real biological son. You know, he knows that he's adopted, so now he kind of needs to figure out who he is, where he came from, that type of stuff. I thought it was a pretty good first issue. I like Maleev's artwork as well, and I thought it was pretty good. But, you know, I'll definitely be sticking around with this one. I enjoyed it.
I thought this one was a bit of a slow read, but I also enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. The artwork was a little dark.
Maleev's artwork is generally like that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I kind of like equate this to an art style that you like because it usually coincides with Bendis's work, and which is usually a little more on the more thought provoking than action based.
Right.
But I thought it was really well done, and it's Iron Man's not a character that I like. Getting to see a different version of him, just a different take, at least like feels like it's a jumping on point for me to get into it. Because I liked the artwork on the last series, I just didn't like the story.
Hmm. Which last series?
I forget. It was really clean artwork, and he... Like, and everything was smoothed out on his suit.
Are you talking about just Incredible Iron Man? The one that's out now with David Marquez doing the artwork?
Yeah.
That's another ongoing Iron Man series.
I know, but I stopped reading that.
Oh. Yeah, because you're a savage. What else you read? Anything else?
I read... I'll tell you one I read by accident. So what? I read Gorillaz, which was a number one, but I didn't realize it's volume 3, chapter 1.
Yeah, you need to read.
No idea what's going on.
You need to read, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't I didn't even read volume 2. I grabbed it thinking, will I be able to follow it? And I was in the same boat. I was like, what the fuck happened? Guess I should probably read volume 2.
Yeah, I got like 3 spreads in. I was like, I don't know what's happening here. And I went back and I reread it. And then at one point, I just started flipping through and looking at the artwork because it's a really cool black and white style.
Yeah.
Volume 1
is really good.
It feels like they're pulling a lot of visual analogies between memories and old TV shows and then just filling in data that they know some of it, but using animals to represent people.
Mm-hmm.
But then I just got to a point where I can't figure out where the line is of what's actually happening. So unfortunately I can't recommend that. I'd say go back and try to find the first volume.
Hmm.
And then on the other hand, I read Power Man and Iron Fist number 1 and 2 to get caught up. And that shit's funny as hell. I like that. The artwork's great.
Didn't I tell you it's good?
Yeah, the characters are great. The artwork is just, like, perfect for, a buddy comic. And I would love to see, like, this made into even an animated movie.
Yeah.
The only thing that strikes me is weird. Is it?
Well,
I mean, like, it's not going to have this kind of humor, though.
Yeah, Iron Fist. Well, we don't know what Iron Fist is going to have. Probably not, though. I agree.
Not that amount of humor.
Right.
But one of the things that's really strange is the new design for Luke Cage looks so much like Suge Knight.
I think that's just his art style.
Yeah, but it has so much personality in it, you don't care. Just the strut that they're doing on the cover of issue number 2. Mm-hmm. If you don't like what you're seeing in that scene of just like the movement and the difference in the characters, then you probably shouldn't even read the series because It does a great job of symbolizing it.
Yeah, I love it. I love Power Man and Iron Fist. You know me, I'm a sucker for Iron Fist. And I just...
I've never read...
I love how Iron Fist is just like, come on, man, let's get the band back together. He's like, no. He's like, come on, it's going to happen. No. And it just keeps happening. And he's like, see, I told you we should do it. We should get the band back together. He's like, no. And they just get deeper and deeper. So you know they're going to team up again.
Yep. Yeah, this writer could actually do a really good Spider-Man story, I think.
Yeah. I like it. I enjoy it. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, now I've never read either one of these characters' stuff, so I was like, all right, he's touted these two forever. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yep.
The last time I read Luke Cage comics, he looked like a blaxploitation character.
Oh, God, that's how he started out, yeah.
Yeah, like you 1970s, need to read, 1980s comics is probably the only stuff I've read with him.
Yeah, you need to read Iron Fist... The last one miniseries.
Immortal Iron Fist?
The Immortal Iron Fist. You need to read that. It's really good.
You've outed it enough where I know the name.
Immortal Iron Fist. Oh,
I think God. I will, because I'd like to know a little bit more about him. I don't know much.
Oh, I love Iron Fist. He's such an underrated character. And I'm so pumped he's going to have his own TV show. So excited. You read anything else? I mean, I read a bunch of stuff, but I'm not going to.
Those are the only ones I was going to mention.
You should start with Spider-Woman. You should really read that. It's really good. And issue 5, mm-hmm. I think for you, will really, really hit home.
Okay.
She's finally had her kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's just like her dealing with being a new parent. Like, I need to be Spider-Woman, but oh my God, I can't leave my son alone. Like, don't go near him. Don't hurt him. I'll kill you if you hurt him. You know, like all this stuff. Like, I don't know how to do it. You know, God, I want to scream. But then he smiles at her and she's like, oh, that just made everything okay. You know, all this stuff. I think with you would really hit home.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
You'll definitely have to read that. Oh, yes. Definitely, Brandy. You should definitely read it. Absolutely. But all right, so then let's talk about some news. We haven't really talked about comics news, and there has been a lot.
Yeah, that DC Rebirth 2-hour special.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I was like,
I did watch most of it, actually.
Did you really?
I started watching it. I was like,
How
long is this? And then fucking Jim Lee got on stage, and then DiDio, and then Jeff Johns. I was like, all right, all the right people are here. I actually really want to see where this is going.
Yeah, I didn't read it at all. I didn't watch it at all. I was too busy watching, because it went over like 12 o'clock, and past 12.
Oh, I wasn't watching it live.
Oh, it started at 12:30 our time.
Yeah, I watched it later that night.
Oh, okay, okay. I was watching the Syracuse lacrosse game. I was like, I ain't watching this. They were playing Duke. Anywho, before we get to Rebirth, just want to start with the Marvel and announce that they're going to have something called Spider-Women Alpha, some little event. It's a crossover book with Spider-Woman, Silk, and Spider-Gwen. Now, that has me really intrigued because those are three series I really enjoy. I think I enjoy the Spider-Women series better than Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Spider-Gwen is my favorite.
Silk is a really good book.
I didn't get into Silk. I read the first three issues.
So, I'm not going to lie. I'm actually looking forward to this one. I said a couple minutes before, Spider-Women Alpha. Yeah, but their titles lately have been kind of strange. But, yeah. I can't say enough about Spider-Woman and Silk. Spider-Gwen is good. Last issue I wasn't really that keen on, but it's still a good series.
Yeah.
So that looks good. But
her costume is awesome.
Spider-Gwen? Yeah, I will admit. And they're making a Bushuju of it.
They are, yeah.
Kurobiki is, yeah.
That's a collectible statue for anyone who has no idea what that temple sounded like.
It's a certain style. It's a Japanese artist. Shunya Yamashita, he's known for drawing these characters in a certain style. And so they base these statues off of that style. And I have a shit ton of those statues too. I got quite a few of those statues. anywho, there's some rumors though that there could be some books at Marvel that are going to get the axe. Rumors are that Red Wolf, Illuminati, Angela, Queen of Hell, and Guardians of Infinity, and what's the other one? Starbrand Nightmask, have been canceled by Marvel, but nothing's been confirmed yet.
I wholeheartedly agree with this decision because I didn't enjoy any of this. I don't,
and I'll tell you why. Let's be honest. Their sales have been terrible, so it's inevitable because no matter how much we may enjoy some of these books, Marvel is a company and they need to turn a profit. And if they're not turning a profit with these books, they're not going to make them anymore. I never read Illuminati or Angela, Queen of Hell. Guardians of Infinity is kind of dumb. And Starbrand and Nightmask did not enjoy it. But I like Red Wolf. I thought it's been pretty good. This run, I thought the first four or five issues, I like it. I thought it's been well written.
Red Wolf's the only one out of this list I didn't read. And I was like, I don't like any of these other ones.
I never read Illuminati or Angela.
I read Angela because I was just confused as to how she was even in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but they don't explain it in this.
No. I was like, oh, is this the same character? And it is.
She's like part of Thor's whatever.
No, she's creator owned when she was made under Spawn. So that's how she was able to come.
No, I mean, but that's how they brought her.
Oh, that's where they put her, yeah.
Universe. Yeah, yeah. Like she's Thor's sister or some shit like that. I don't know. But yeah, Red Wolf has been really good. So that'll be sad. That's going, but I understand the rest of the books.
Oh, Starbrand and Nightmask was one of the worst new comics. Yeah, and it could have been amazing.
Could have been. They didn't do a good job though.
They should have got the writer of what was that TV show?
Bosom Buddies. I have no idea what.
I can't think of the name of it. It's the one with that. He's an ass.
He's an ass. Well, that's helpful.
My God. Brandy's been watching it lately, too. They're in a hospital. They're all interns. Dr. Cox.
Scrubs?
Yeah. It could have had, like, that amount of, like, camaraderie between them. And instead, it was just, like, the worst guest appearances of horrible bad guys.
Yeah, no. But speaking of shit that's ending, DC had their big rebirth announcement this weekend at WonderCon. And I say speaking of ending because a lot of titles are ending, and they're relaunching a lot of titles too. They announced, you know, what rebirth is and when it'll start. First off, it's not a reboot. They're just taking continuing a lot of what's already been told in New 52 and taking some older approaches as well and tying that all in.
The hardest thing that they're trying to do, though.
Yeah.
They're trying to – because what Geoff Johns did when he took over Green Lantern was astonishing. Like, mm-hmm. He took a comic that nobody was reading –
and I was.
revamped, true, but I mean, in general, the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And revamped it in a way that he rewrote the lore, and it was amazing. Like, we had the Sinestro War, we had all the different colors of the Lantern show up, we had Brightest Day, Darkest Night, all, like, Green Lantern, Black Ops. Mm-hmm. Was all from him going in and just being like, these are the best parts, move on from here.
Yeah.
And that
he did
is
a great job
amazing.
With the Flash Rebirth, too.
I never read that one. I hear everybody
should.
Loves it.
Really good. Really good.
I'm tempted to go back, but I guess I'll just see how this Flash Rebirth goes.
Well, let me tell you. They announced the creative teams and all that, as well as when the titles are going to launch. And we're not going to go over all of them, so we'll hit a number of them. but compared to the number of DC titles I read now, I'm dropping a ton of them. Mm-hmm. I'm just stopping. Batgirl, Gotham Academy, all that. I'm just stopping.
You're still reading Gotham Academy?
Shut up. My DC pull list is going to be really small compared to what it is.
Mine's actually going to get much larger.
Not me. Well, so let's start. Action Comics 957. I like that they're going back to the original numbering.
True.
I was not a fan when they launched New 52 and Action Comics went with number one. Didn't like that. 957, good job. Dan Juergens is doing the artwork and writing. I'm going to give it a shot, but for how long, who knows? We'll see. Then there's Aquaman number one, which is actually twice monthly. A lot of these books are going to be twice monthly.
That is actually the thing I don't like.
I'm not a fan of that. Not a fan of it. I think it suffers.
I mean, it's nice that they're dropping their price down
right.
to $2.99.
Yep.
But increasing it to twice a month means it's now $6 to read that title every month.
Yep. I mean, you get more pages, obviously, but still.
Yeah.
Aquaman number one.
Is it
going
to be Khal Drogo Aquaman?
Oh, who knows? Dan Abnett and Brad Walker. This is a pass for me. Zero interest in this one.
Same.
Then there's Batman number one, which is also twice monthly. This is by Tom King and David Finch. I'm really interested in Tom King as the writer because I like his stuff on Grayson. He's been doing a great job with Vision.
Oh, yeah.
And he's also writing Sheriff of Baghdad, which I'm really enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a really good writer. And he signed an exclusive with DC. So now he's exclusive with DC. He leaves Vision after issue 12, which is a shame because it's been really good. But that one I'm interested in.
I love David Finch's artwork.
Yeah, see, I'm a little on the opposite. I'm kind of, it's okay.
I love his design of Wings, but I'm also going back to that comic book, Ascension.
Oh, I remember.
From
Ascension 9, right?
No, just Ascension.
Which was the one with, oh, that was Aphrodite 9.
Yeah. Those were, I just love the way he did Wings.
I guess. If Wings are your thing, sure.
Yeah.
I'll be checking it out. Then there's Detective Comics 934. Which is also twice monthly. And that's by James Tynion IV and Eddie Barrows. Not a huge fan of James Tynion's work. Okay, not great.
What does he do?
He was doing... what was the Batman that was weekly?
All-Star?
No, not All-Star. You know what I'm talking about, right? He did the weekly one. He had his own creator-owned book as well, which was okay. Wasn't bad. The Woods,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't bad. This is a team-up book. You have one of the Robins. You have Batwoman and Clayface is in it as well.
Hmm.
Not sure how that's going to work. I will pick it up. Not sure how I feel about it, but I'll pick it up, give it a shot. Then we have All-Star
Batman. That's a skip for me.
We have All-Star Batman. This is by Scott Snyder. This is a monthly book, though. Not twice a month, so that's nice. And this is about... the artwork is different artists for different arcs. So the first year, he's going to have like three or four artists. And they're focusing on villains in the first year. Each villain's going to have a different story arc. It starts with John Romita Jr., and then we're going to see Jock and Sean Murphy also handling artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Snyder and Jock, awesome. Love their stuff on Detective Comics. Their Black Mirror stuff was awesome. John Romita Jr., not a fan of his artwork at all.
That's one of those where, like, as
Batman, not a fan.
I used to be a fan of him long time ago, I think. Late 90s, early 90s, maybe, or mid 90s, probably. But it hasn't evolved.
Yeah, not a fan of it. So we'll see. Then there's the Flash number one, which is twice monthly. That's from Josh Williamson and Carmine Di Giandomenico. I'm intrigued. I mean, I like The Flash, but since I like Di Giandomenico's artwork, so I like that. So I think I'm going to give it a shot.
I'll definitely give it. I mean, I'm keep watching the show. I'm definitely going to try the comic.
So we've got Green Arrow number one, another twice monthly book by Ben Percy and Otto Schmidt. No clue who the creative team is. Not interested.
I'll give it a shot. He gets a hoodie. But,
yeah, I know.
It looks more like the show than the Robin Hood.
I am interested in Green Lanterns number one, another twice monthly book from Sam Humphries and Robson Rocha.
Same.
And then we have
a question for you. So Green Arrow, you're into the show ish.
Mm-hmm.
Why not the comic?
Never really read a lot of Green Arrow ever. I tried reading Green Arrow with its first New 52 when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Jeff Lemire took over like issue 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people said it got so much better. But I stopped after like issue 3.
Gotcha.
Because I thought it was so bad. So I don't really feel like going back. But then we have Superman number one, another twice monthly with Peter Tomasi, Pat Gleason, and Doug Monkey doing the artwork. I think this is a good creative team. That's for sure. But we'll see. I'll check this one out. And finally for me, there's Wonder Woman number one. Yet another twice monthly book, but this is by Greg Rucka and Liam Sharp. And I have to admit, I've never really read Wonder Woman, but this creative team has me interested the most out of all of the creative teams. This book I'm interested in the most, Greg Rucka. And have you seen Liam Sharp's artwork? It's awesome.
What does he do?
He does creator-owned stuff. He's an English or Irish artist. So he's done a lot of like Judge Dredd and stuff like that.
Okay.
Some of the promotional artwork they showed looks awesome. Looks great. This is probably the one that has me most excited to read.
Hmm.
Not gonna lie.
Probably the same for me, just because I've never liked Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
But Greg Rucka,
yeah,
I think has maybe the widest range of being able to tell human stories in amazing situations.
He's a great writer. Love his stuff.
Yeah, Queen and Country is one of my favorite.
Yep, I like also. Oh Jesus, what the fuck is it called? I'm currently reading it. It's an ongoing from him. It takes place in Portland with the detective.
Oh, Stumptown.
Stumptown. Yeah, his Punisher run was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Great awesome. Punisher run.
Yeah. He's a great writer. He's also doing Fearless. What's it called? Not Fearless. Oh, God. It's another book. It's a creator-owned title that takes place in, like, this alternate reality. Not, you know, alternate timeline type America, which is really good. And lastly, there's Batgirl by Hope Larson and Raphael Albuquerque. I love Albuquerque's artwork. But I'm not going to lie, I have no desire to read another Batgirl book, and especially one where she's traveling all around Asia.
Is this the Batgirl where her breaking her back was just a dream?
I don't know.
I think I had read that. That was going to be the next Batgirl series.
I don't know. Maybe. Then there's still a shit ton of other books that I really am not going to get into, but you know, because I really have zero interest, but some of those are like Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn, Deathstroke, Cyborg, Supergirl, Blue Beetle, The Hellblazer, and there's a bunch more.
I don't want to read any of those, but the only thing I want to point out is I'm really disappointed that The Hellblazer is going to stay in the DC universe.
Yeah, it needs to go back to Vertigo.
They should. Yeah. I don't know why they didn't. Like, they're taking the time to retell it. There's no way they looked back at everything that was good about Hellblazer and was like, it should stay here.
I agree. Yeah, no, it needs to go back to Vertigo big time. So, yeah, that's it. I mean, out of the ones that we went through, I'm not picking them all up. So there's Green Lanterns, Superman, All-Star, Batman, Action Comics, Wonder Woman, and The Flash. So my DC pull list is going to be a lot smaller.
There's a chance I'll pick up all of the main superhero number ones just to see what they're like.
Whoa, your mic's acting all wackadoo.
Was it?
Yeah. It's like repeating itself and all fuzzy. Hmm. Sounds better now. Anywho, anything else? Comics? Before you move on to movies and TV and all that other shit? So let's move along, shall we? TV shows? Anything good recently?
Well, I mean, I finished Daredevil season 2.
You finished it already?
Yep.
Fuck you. I'm only on episode 6.
Dante was up pretty late one night, and even when he went to sleep, I was like, oh, just one more episode. Yeah, just one more episode.
You're not watching it with Brandy?
She was up.
Oh, okay. No, see. No. We're only in episode 6 in my house. But I'm really digging it.
Same. I mean, for me, I actually am enjoying this season more than the first one.
Really?
Yep.
I think it's on par. I like the changes to his suit.
Well, I don't think the first season was bad. I just like this one slightly more just because it moves faster.
That's good. I think Punisher is fucking awesome.
Yes, he is.
John Bernthal has done an excellent job as Frank Castle.
Yeah, which I definitely had some doubts about how he would be.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, every line they gave him, and they did not give him an easy role.
Nope.
He had to go from Stone Cold Killer to crying in the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all good.
Yeah. Elektra so far so good. You know, I'm at the point past the point where we got how Matt and Elektra met.
Mm-hmm.
And all that, and I thought that one scene was cool when he went over to her place
and
she kind of, and she was wearing that red robe, but mm-hmm. it was like a bright red. I'm like, oh, that's a little nod to her original costume.
Yeah, there's a lot of nods to the original costume.
Yeah. And then she just pulls up the mask and mm-hmm. she's like, yeah, we're ready. Which is a little different than her comic costume, but you know, I'm enjoying it so far. I think it's really good. I think Netflix and Marvel have done an excellent job with the show. And I'm just as on board as much as I was with season 1. Lots of little Easter eggs.
Yep.
What's her name? Get the little shout out to Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Where they specifically drop her name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still waiting to see if we'll get any more hints to the Serpent Society, which I'm assuming we will later on, because I thought I saw somebody post a screenshot of Madame Gao.
She's there.
So that ties into...
It's a little different than you're thinking it's going to go.
But I mean, Serpent Society is definitely part of Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. Looking forward to it. But yeah, 6 episodes in. But, you know, sticking with Netflix there... what else? Netflix announced that Luke Cage debuts on September 30th. And I guess at the end of Daredevil, did you see it? The teaser for Luke Cage?
Yeah, it just goes right into playing it at the end.
Yeah, there's just a little teaser. And then they show the logo. Did they show the logo? Because I saw the
logo
for the show. Yeah. Mark this up as another show that I really want to see.
Same.
Yeah, so... yeah, looking forward to it. Daredevil's been pretty good. I just finished season 3 of Black Sails. It was awesome. Oh, so good. You really need to watch more of it.
I'll get there one day.
Yeah, it was awesome. That, I've been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's been pretty good. And The Flash came back.
I watched that.
Yeah, so did I.
What'd you think?
I thought it wasn't bad. They figured out Jay is Zoom.
Yep.
But which version of Jay is it is the question.
It has to be a different one.
Yeah, it's got to be, you know.
Because we already saw Infinite the one Earths. From that world.
Yeah. Infinite Earths, mm-hmm. you know.
It kind of reminds me of that shitty Jet Li movie called The One.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Where he just keeps going from Earth to Earth, killing himself different and gaining person. More power.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with the reveal.
It's like, were you?
So it was just a rubber helmet.
Yeah.
Was it mutated or?
Nope. Oh, well. But still watching Lucifer.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Yep. Agreed. iZombie comes back soon. That's almost over for the season.
True. I love that show. Like, I make sure to just watch it right afterwards.
It's a good show. But, you know, fear not, because a bunch of shows were recently renewed for next season. The Flash, mm-hmm. iZombie, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They were all picked up for next season.
Which is interesting, because a lot of people had said Legends of Tomorrow was canceled before it, like, even aired, claiming that it had run over budget.
Yeah, I don't know how it runs over budget, considering we never fucking see Firestorm. You know? Firestorm is a character in the show, and yet we never see him. They always keep them separated. It's like maybe once every 6 episodes you get a brief glimpse of him.
He's expensive.
Yeah, he is, obviously. But I just need to see what they're going to do with Legends of Tomorrow, because I don't want to still see them chasing Vandal Savage around through time. That shit gets old.
Mm-hmm.
One season's enough of that, I think. They need to resolve that. But he can be killed.
He'll come back.
Ugh, great. They did show a little teaser of Jonah Hex on Legends of Tomorrow, so that's cool. Looking forward to that. What else?
I saw Deadpool.
We'll talk about movies in a minute. Let's get rid of the TV stuff then.
Venture Brothers?
Oh, yeah. Still watching Venture. It wasn't on last night.
No, it wasn't on.
I thought it was supposed to be on.
You signed off and you're like, all right, I'm going to watch it. So I signed off and I go to look at it and I'm like, I can't find it.
I watched Comic Book Men instead.
I watched reruns of Archer.
I don't know why. Yeah, Archer starts this week, Thursday. Can't wait.
Yep.
What else? Preacher debuts on AMC on May 22nd. And they also showed an image of what Arseface looks like in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like fucking Arse. my hopes for this show are very low, which is a shame.
Well, I mean, every announcement that was made was lowered your expectations.
Yes, pretty much.
To the point where, is it going to be the Preacher storyline?
Yes. I don't know. Maybe having low expectations is good, because maybe it'll surprise me and I'll enjoy it. But I don't know. We'll find out.
Typically, it's a better stance to go in.
Yeah. Well, typically, but who knows. One show that I'm looking forward to, and it hasn't even debuted yet, and it's already got a pickup for season 2 before season 1 even airs. That's Outcast, which premieres June 3rd on Showtime.
I thought you were going to say Voltron.
No. This is Outcast. Oh,
Outcast is the...
based on the Robert Kirkman comic book. Mm-hmm. Yep. I've seen some screenshots, and it looks pretty good. The screenshots, granted, but, you know, some of the shots look like they were straight out of the comic.
I am surprised that it was picked up for season 2 already.
Yeah, though. Already. But, hey, maybe that they have faith in it. Maybe it means it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Voltron, Voltron trailer debuted this weekend at WonderCon, and it gave us a glimpse of what the new robot's going to look like. I'm not going to lie. Did you see it?
Yeah,
I watched. I think it looks pretty fucking cool. Awesome. Yeah. They also showed off some screenshots from the series. I kind of like the art style they're going with.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Netflix when I was a kid. The Five Lions.
You loved Netflix when you were a kid?
Sorry, Voltron. I loved Voltron when I was a kid. The Five Lions. I even used to watch the Cars version of Voltron. Do you remember, like, the space vehicles, space cars?
I only watched the Lion one.
Oh, I had that one as well. And there used to be another Voltron series where it was like these five car robots that formed into a bigger robot.
Mm-hmm.
And that one was really hard to catch on TV. I remember I used to be able to get this channel from, I don't know where, maybe it was New Jersey or somewhere. See, back in the day when I was a kid, you know, most of your TV stations came over the air. We didn't have cable like you do now. So getting a channel from far away was kind of rough. And I remember I used to be able to see it really with a lot of static on it. Mm-hmm. But I used to love Voltron. Loved it. And Netflix, June 10th, the series starts on Netflix. So this is something I'm genuinely interested in. You know, it doesn't have that kiddie look or kiddie feel to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This looks like it's kind of trying to appeal to the people who grew up with it, but still draw in younger audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Star Wars, The Clone Wars. It started off very geared towards kids, but by the end, there was so much in it that I knew so many adults who watched it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And same with Star Wars Rebels. I know a lot of adults who watch Star Wars Rebels. My wife's like, you're watching a cartoon. Like, first off, it's on at 9 o'clock at night. Okay. So this means it's okay for adults to watch. And it's not bad. Rebels is pretty good too, but
there was that moderately recent, Thundercats.
Yeah. Which wasn't bad. That was really good. Yeah. So this is something I'm genuinely interested in. You know, I love Ultron when I was a kid. Some of the comics have been pretty good. Some not so good. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see their take on this. I'm looking forward to this one. You?
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah.
I don't know how excited I am. I'll have to see what the stories are like.
Yeah, obviously. But Netflix has been...
Netflix is fucking killing it.
Yeah, they are.
It's amazing.
Damn, yo, what are you doing? Creaking up a storm over there.
Yeah, I gotta fix that one day.
Sticking with TV, though, Marvel has greenlit the pilot for Marvel's Most Wanted. This is that S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff show. It's going to feature Mockingbird and her ex-husband from S.H.I.E.L.D. there. I forgot his name. But they also announced a few other casting announcements for the show, but I don't remember who it is. Actually, I do. One of them, what's his name? I forgot his last name. You see him, you know exactly who he is. He's been in so many fucking movies and TV shows.
I don't even watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so.
Oh. But
I got
yeah.
no idea what's going on.
But yeah, that's Most Wanted. And you could see last week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you can kind of see where this show would spin off from.
Because
it kind of wrote out Mockingbird and her ex.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good episode. But moving on to movies, let's talk about news before we could talk about actual movies. Some good news from DC and Batman. No, we haven't seen Batman versus Superman. Neither of us have seen it. Not for lack of trying, because I just don't give a fuck about the movie. And apparently the critics agree with me. It was announced that Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy will star in the animated The Killing Joke movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. As far as I'm concerned, those two should voice them in anything until they die. Simple as that.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
They could be 70 years old, and Conroy should still be voicing Batman.
Yeah, his voice is perfect for it.
Perfect. Love it. And I'm not talking about just the animated movies, but the video games and all that shit. Just keep Kevin Conroy doing it.
Yep.
Pay him however much money he wants, and we're good to go. But lastly, I think it was inevitable, and now it's official. There's going to be another Indiana Jones movie. And yes, it stars Harrison Ford. To be honest, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. I hope it's a true final act type story. But who knows? Wasn't the last one supposed to be the one that handed the reins over to his son? What was his name? Mutt? Was that
his name in the movie?
Wasn't that his nickname? Wasn't it some stupid name like Mutt or some shit like that?
Might have been. I don't remember.
That movie was just not good.
No, that was not.
And now an even older Harrison Ford? I don't know.
Yeah.
When this,
I'm not
when
sure
the
where it's
going to take place in like the 60s, 70s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if there's that really that much like want of that movie.
Yeah, I don't know if fans are clamoring for it either.
I think maybe because of how excited a bunch of people got about
Star Wars.
No, what's his name? The one who did Jurassic World, Star-Lord.
Oh,
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
Like there was a rumor that he was going to be Indiana Jones, and I think they may have like misconstrued that being like us wanting another Indiana Jones movie.
Maybe.
Where? I just want, I'd rather an Uncharted movie if we're going to start over.
Yes. I agree, but you and I have differing opinions on who should play Nathan Drake.
I don't have an opinion on Nathan Drake. Oh. Nobody's perfect for him. I need Nathan filling in younger.
I don't know. Did you ever watch Stargate Atlantis?
A little bit.
You know the guy who played Joe, the U.S.
Not that well.
Air Force captain? He was like one of the main characters.
Okay.
I thought he would be a perfect... You know, I think I actually did a
movie. Wasn't that airing during like the O.J. Simpson trial?
No, oh, dude.
Like late 90s?
No, after.
Was it?
That was SG-1.
Oh, okay.
Atlantis was after. The guy who played Khal Drogo, who plays Aquaman, he was in it.
Oh, Jason yeah, with, Momoa. Like, huge long dreads, right?
Yeah, he played an alien. Yeah, he was in it. But I actually think I did a casting couch for this.
Really? So Stargate? Uncharted.
Uncharted, yeah.
It was like Stargate Atlantis?
No, Uncharted. But, anywho, let's talk about some movies. You saw a movie. You said you saw Deadpool.
I did see Deadpool.
Cool. Good for you.
I thought it was hilarious. It's weird. It's maybe the only comic movie where I don't care about the inaccuracies because it's not in the universe that I care about.
Okay. So
it's like it's not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's part of Fox. And they've already fucked up so many things that it's like, I don't care. I thought it was a great Deadpool movie. I thought Francis and Angel Dust were really weird choices. I agree with you that this is the worst Colossus we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm including the video game where he only makes a sound effect.
That's funny.
But I thought it. This was the...
I hated their portrayal of Colossus in this movie.
Well, I knew the second, like, knowing that you didn't like it, and then watching the very first appearance of him in the movie,
mm-hmm. where he's eating
all
the cereal?
Steel and eating cereal, I was like, Armando fucking hated this.
I'm like, why does he need to be steel to eat cereal? He's never steel unless he's in battle. If he's not in battle, he's not steel.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, why is he in steel? He's eating fucking cereal, watching TV. There's no reason for him to be steel.
But I thought the comedy was spot on, and I really just enjoyed watching it.
That's good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
The action was cool. I'm so glad that somebody finally had the balls to do comic book eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I did like that about his mask, how the eyes would move and everything. Yeah. Yep. Worked really well. Now we're going to see it on Spider-Man.
Yep. Although his are mechanical.
But still.
And they play a little, like, noise when they move. But
yep. But still.
I don't care. As long as they open up all the way when mm-hmm. Spider-Sense happens.
That'd be awesome. Like, oh, he senses something awesome. Yeah. Best Marvel movie ever?
No.
But top three?
No.
Alright.
I thought it was an enjoyable movie. Sane. So it's okay. Weird. Like, normally comedies rank higher for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why Guardians of the Galaxy ranks higher for me than it does with you.
But it's,
there was a
it ranks high for
it.
Me. It ranks high for me.
Right.
Because it was a good movie overall.
Yeah, but you always, like, dramas typically, like, Captain America 2 probably goes higher on your list than it does for me.
For me, it's the best Marvel movie.
Right. And I'm not sure I know what my best Marvel movie is.
For me, yeah, Winter Soldier was the best Marvel movie.
And I think technically as a movie, like, going by story beats and everything, that was probably the best Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I might even put Guardians of the Galaxy above it just because I enjoyed it.
Right.
Probably more.
Gotcha.
But every time I make a list, it's never in the same order, so.
Yeah. Deadpool's not even in my top 5. Probably not even in my top 10 of Marvel movies. And this year,
it's probably my top 10.
This year, the next two Marvel movies, Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
Civil War. I already have my tickets for Civil War. Literally. 6:30, Friday night, opening night.
Yeah, that's interesting. Those two movies could actually just top your list out.
Oh, God. Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. That's like near orgasmic levels.
Are any DC comics on your top 10, or DC comic movies on your top 10 of comic book movies?
I've never really done a top 10 comic book movies list. Hmm. I've always done the Marvel list because usually it's just Marvel movies. But I mean, let's be honest,
Blade 2 on your list?
Blade 2 is a good movie. It wouldn't be in top 10. I would put The Dark Knight in the top 10.
Okay.
That was a great Joker.
Is probably the greatest Joker.
At first, when they said Heath Ledger, I was like, what the fuck? Really?
See, I was a fan.
And then I watched the movie and I was like, yes, he is awesome.
See, I was a fan because of a stupid movie I had seen him in.
What?
The one where he's lancing.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I don't remember the name.
I know what you're talking about, but I've never seen it.
It's stupid, but it's a good movie. I liked it.
Remember him from 10 Things I Hate About You.
That's funny because Robin is in that movie too.
Yep. That's right. They both are. And they're they help each other.
He was annoying as shit in that movie. I liked Robin in that movie though.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst dates I've ever been on.
I know. I didn't even
sit next to the girl that I was on the date with.
That sucks.
She brought friends.
Friend zoned on the on the date. That sucks. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know what I would put in my top 10 movies. Obviously, Winter Soldier would be number one no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably put The Dark Knight in like top 3 or top 5, definitely.
Does Road to Perdition go in your list?
No.
Technically a comic book movie?
Technically it is a comic book movie. You're right. There's lots of movies out there that are comic book movies that people never realize was a comic book.
True.
Good movie, but not in my top 10. I don't know.
What was in my top 10 when I was younger?
What?
The original Punisher. The Dolph Lundgren one.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren?
I fucking loved that movie. I taped it off of your tape.
No, not a fan of it.
He fought ninjas with red light background. It was awesome.
That wasn't mine. I never owned it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
I don't know who else I would have taped it off.
I don't know. It wasn't mine. I actually liked, what's his name, as Punisher. The last Punisher movie. With the English guy, the English actor there.
Oh, the guy from Rome.
Yeah, Punisher, that was really vile. Yeah. Was it?
Warzone, was it?
Punisher Warzone, yeah. That was good. Yeah.
I mean, that was what we were talking about a few episodes ago, where there's something great about a guy having to go into a building and clear the building out.
Mm-hmm.
Like The Raid or
Judge Dredd. The new Judge Dredd? Yeah, that was awesome. Dredd. Dredd, they call it, yeah.
But, I mean, that scenario just works for when you want to see a guy who's good at killing just do something. It's like, give me a place with all bad guys. Yep. Let him go through and get to the top floor.
I agree. But I did see a movie this week. I don't know. Did you see any other movies?
I saw Creed.
What'd you think
finally.
Of it?
Finally. I thought it was great. I loved
it. Yeah, the movie.
That was the most intense fucking last fight.
Yeah.
And Ryan I knew Coogler's, how it was going to end.
Ryan Coogler's doing Black Panther.
Oh, is he?
The guy who wrote and directed Creed.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep, he's doing Black Panther. Yep. I saw Zootopia.
That thing is getting huge buzz about how good it is.
Zootopia?
Yeah.
Deservedly so. So the wife and I took the kids to see Zootopia last week. And, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised in how much I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good movie with a lot of topics that are actually extremely relevant in today's society, especially given our current political climate. Absolutely. Like, there's one scene where the fox goes into this elephant-owned ice cream shop and wants to get ice cream. And like, we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. And I'm kind of like, you've seen that a lot in American politics.
Mm-hmm.
Certain states, you know, under their religious liberty acts that they're passing, which pretty
that
much
got voted, that got voted.
The
against.
One in Georgia was vetoed. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. But it passed in North Carolina earlier in the week.
Yes.
Or last week. And other states as well. Indiana and all that. All backwards states.
We're not saying that you guys are racist. We're just saying some of your bigots.
You're a bunch of bigots. Anywho, there was surprisingly a lot of stuff, but the animation was top notch. Really looked great. You know, the girls were watching Toy Story last night, Saturday night they were watching the original Toy Story. It was on Disney Channel. And I said to my wife, I said, look at it. We saw it in the theater, her and I.
Mm-hmm.
I said, just look at this movie and then look at the Zootopia and how computer animation, how far it's gone. You know, it's really progressed so much. And Zootopia looked great.
They released that one scene of the bunny cop trying to talk to the sloth. DMV guy.
Yeah.
That shit was funny. And I was like, I'll watch this movie.
It was still just as funny in the theater too, even though you knew it was happening. The story was well thought out and well executed as well. It focused on this rabbit police officer. She's the first of her kind in the Zootopia Police Department. You know, she's from like the country, Bunnyville or whatever the hell they call it. And she goes to Zootopia, which is this huge city with millions of inhabitants. And it's really cool when she's like taking the train into Zootopia to go to the police academy, because it's like it goes through all of Zootopia and you see all of the different sections. You see the rainforest section where all of the animals who, you know, live in the rainforest, they live there. You go through like Mouse Town where everything is small, because it's all mice who live there. You go through like the savanna area where it's all like those type of animals that live in the savanna. The one area where it's like all snow for the animals who, you know, like polar bears, stuff like that. It's really cool the way they do it. Really look great. But it's about her. She's the first rabbit ever to be a cop in the Zootopia Police Department, and how she kind of stumbles upon this big conspiracy of, it's broken down into predators and prey.
Mm-hmm.
And how they all live together. You know, the story is about how they all live together now. They put aside their differences from way back hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, and now they all live together. But somebody's actually trying to get the prey and starting to make them go crazy to try to intimidate the predator animals, like the lions, the tigers, the otters, jaguars, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of want to scare everybody, so they're making them go crazy. So she stumbles upon this big conspiracy and how her preconceived notions almost ruined everything for her as well. I thought it was really well done, taught a lot of lessons. The kids loved it. Even my 10-year-old son was like, that was really good. I was like, yeah, it was. My daughter, when we're leaving in the car, she's like, Daddy, can you get it so we can watch it again? I'm like, oh, the movie doesn't come out for a little while, so you got to wait. But we'll get it when it comes out. And it had its, you know, its fair share of adult humor as well, which I think you see in all of the animated movies now because they know parents are bringing their kids. Mm-hmm. So they throw the parents' bones as well, which is nice. But if you get a chance to see it, do so. I would highly recommend this movie.
Cool.
Definitely. It was really good. I was surprised. There was this bitch in the row in front of us. She was not in the seat in front of me. She was kind of like two over.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on her cell phone the entire time. She brought her daughter to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's dark in there, but she's on her cell phone the entire time. That's so I'm watching the movie. So the entire time I just see her cell phone like in the corner of my eye. So it was so distracting because you always saw it. It's like fucking dim the screen if you're going to be on it the whole time, bitch. I was so annoyed with her. From the moment it started until it ended, she was on her cell phone the whole time. Texting, shopping, playing games. It's like you can't just watch a movie with your kid. Just turn off your cell phone. Be considerate of other people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that annoyed the shit out of me.
Surprised you didn't just like start lobbing popcorn.
I was about ready to just grab it out of her hand and turn it off. It was, have consideration for other people around you too, you know? A big bright screen on when it's dark. What? I have nothing nice to say about that lady. I was hoping the phone would just die on her, you know? I mean, she was on it the whole time. It's like, just turn it off for 5 minutes and watch the movie with your kid. But anyway, whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, Zootopia. It was actually pretty good. I would recommend you see it.
Cool.
But I don't know. I think I'm done.
Done.
Yeah. Finito.
This pancake is done.
Yes. It's all right. We are done. So since we're done, let's just thank you guys for listening. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget to subscribe. And if you already do, thank you. We appreciate it. Before we go, though, let's just plug some of our sites. Our website, 8bitsoul.com. Our Destiny-centric site, destiny.8bitsoul.com. You can find us on Twitter. We're at 8bytes. That's 8bites. Mine is Juventus, JUVENTUZ. And D's is Marchione. MARCHIONE. You can also find our Destiny feed at 8bytes Destiny. Like us on Facebook. We post stuff on there. Follow us on Instagram. Check out our YouTube page. All that fun stuff. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. So we're done, everybody. Thank you. And we will see you next time. So say goodbye, D.
Ciao.
Peace.